Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the From His Presence podcast. I'm Jamie Rohrbaugh, blogger at FromHisPresence.com, and today's podcast is called Using Your Holy Imagination. Stay tuned for an inspiring word. Did you know that every part of you was made and created to be tuned in to God? Every part of you, your body, your mind, your emotions, your soul, your spirit, every part of you was made to help you encounter God and to help you know Him better and connect with Him. Well, when I say every part of you, that includes your imagination. Imagination is something that many people ignore because a lot of people get into trouble with their imaginations. But even though some people choose to turn their imaginations after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and they choose to get into sin with their imagination, that is not what your imagination was created for. Your imagination was never intended to help you sin. It was intended to draw you closer to the Lord. So I want to talk to you today about how to use your holy imagination. We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater just because some people have used their imagination in an unholy way and incorrectly. We want to learn about what the Lord has planned and designed for our imaginations. So here are three ways that you can use your holy imagination to draw closer to the Lord, to encounter Him in your worship and through His Word and in your daily life. The first way that you can invoke your holy imagination so the Lord can draw you closer to Him is in worship. This is my favorite use of my imagination. Years ago, shortly after I got saved, I heard someone tell a story, and in the story they said that there was a large group of people in a worship service, and I think the number was somewhere around 5,000 people, and that the Lord spoke to someone and said, out of that entire service, only one person was really worshiping me. Now, I don't know if that story is true. I would hate to think that it would be true in a group of 5,000 people. But when I heard that story the first time, it gripped my heart. And the reason that it impacted me so strongly was that I just imagined this awesome Lord who had just saved me from so much misery. And I imagined that here He would be in this worship service, all excited to be surrounded by His people, and yet maybe none of the people really cared about Him. Could His heart be broken by that? Could He feel that rejection? Could He feel the apathy in His people? Whether the actual story was true or not, it just tore me up to even think about my Father, my Jesus, the precious Holy Spirit, not receiving the worship that He was due. And so I began to pray, and I started to ask the Lord, Lord, please teach me how to worship. I had just gotten saved. I didn't know anything, really, about the Bible. I knew stories, but I didn't know any relationship with the Lord. I didn't have any real revelation. I didn't have a good foundation in truth. I didn't know how to worship. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know any of these things. But I just said, Lord, will You teach me how to worship? Would You help me to be the one person that always touches Your heart? Would You, Lord, let me be the one person that's never going to let You down? If You want to be loved on by Your people, and I know You do, let me always give You the love and worship that You deserve. And so the Lord started teaching me and making me a worshiper. And it was not something that He taught me by rote, by method, because that's performance. That's not worship. But He started teaching me how to really enter into the worship and encounter Him. And a big part of that was using my imagination. The simplest way to start with using your imagination in worship is to really think about and listen to the lyrics that you're singing in worship, okay? For example, at the time that I got saved, there was a song that was very, very popular. It had just come out, It's by Mercy Me, and it's called I Can Only Imagine. You may have heard this song. It's so beautiful. Some of the lyrics say, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. And the chorus says, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And as I heard that song, those lyrics gripped me, and I started to imagine myself walking next to Jesus in heaven. I started to imagine myself looking at the face of my Father for the first time. I started to imagine the glory of God and the lightning and thunder and flashes and the creatures around the throne. I started to imagine myself meeting Jesus for the first time. What would I do? Would I fall on my face in tears? Would I kiss his feet? Would I hug him? What would I do? How would I react when I saw Jesus the first time? And when I started to imagine these things, all of a sudden, Jesus became more real to me than he had ever been before, because I was using my imagination to focus on the Lord. I was pointing every part of myself at him, and through my imagination, I could hear his voice, and I could see his face, and I could smell the smells of heaven, and it just became an interactive experience. Worship became an interactive experience because I was using my imagination with the lyrics. Another song that I love using my imagination with is a song called Fields of Grace. And in that song, there's a part that says, I love my Father loves me, I dance with my Father sings over me. And during that song, in that part, I'm always just so blessed because I imagine myself as a little bitty girl. In my imagination, I'm always about 2 or 3 years old, and I'm always wearing a yellow chiffon dress. And I'm imagining myself as this tiny toddler being picked up by my amazing Father and just twirled around and tossed in the air and hugged. And I can see my Father singing over me, and I can just imagine myself just being hugged and loved and loving him back and wrapping my arms around his neck, just being a little baby with my Father. And that song touches me so much because my imagination makes it real. I can feel him ministering his love to me because I'm entering into what I'm singing. So when we turn our imagination onto the Lord through the lyrics that we sing in worship, you will have an encounter with the Lord. You will be able to see him and feel him and experience him if you will allow him to access your heart through your imagination. The next awesome way to invoke your holy imagination to draw closer to the Lord is in your reading of Scripture. I love to do this, and my favorite passages are in the book of Revelation. Some of them are so descriptive. I love to read the descriptions of Jesus as he showed himself to John the Beloved, and as he brought John up into heaven and showed John the scenes from around the throne. Those scenes are just ripe with life and with sound and with color and all sorts of things that our imagination can grab hold of. Let me read you one passage and I'll show you what I mean. Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 12, says, Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I just read Revelation 1, verses 12 through the first half of 17. Now, when you read that, you can't not use your imagination. And if you'll imagine this passage and what it looks like on purpose, it's going to make such a difference for you. Don't just leave it to chance. But listen to this. I saw 7 golden lampstands. When you read these passages, start to construct this in your mind. Imagine all 7 golden lampstands. How tall are they? How big is the flame coming out of them? It says, in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Imagine that golden band wrapped around his chest. It says his head and hair were white like wool. What must that have looked like? To see not only your hair, but also your head being white. What kind of power must be emanating from the person of Christ? It says that his eyes were like a flame of fire. So Jesus's eyes are not blue and they're not brown, but they're literally, it says, they look like flames of fire. That must be incredible to see. His feet were like fine brass. What does fine brass look like? It's a very shiny golden color. It says, as if it was refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. That gets me right there, the sound of many waters. Can you imagine what that means? Maybe it's like Niagara Falls, and the water is just pounding at the bottom. Or maybe it's like an ocean, and the breakers are just washing over. What does that mean, the sound of many waters? Just imagine what sound that must be. It says, in his hand he had 7 stars, out of his mouth a sharp 2-edged sword. His countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. Well, I don't know about you, but when I look at the sun, my eyes can't handle it, and I shut my eyes really fast, and I see spots, and it's almost like I'm temporarily blinded. And I know that scientists don't recommend that you even look at the sun because of the brightness and the damage that it can do to your physical eye. Well, imagine, here is this one who it says is like a son of man, and yet he is just shining like the sun, like you could barely even look at him. Imagine these things. And when you see these things in your mind's eye, don't you just enter into this scene? Doesn't Jesus become real to you? Don't you just stand in awe of Jesus? This is what it's like to have an encounter with Jesus. When you enter in like this, he can touch you and he can speak to you. And he can just reveal his holiness to you and other attributes of his person that he may never otherwise be able to reveal to you because you're not focused in enough on him. When your imagination is off wandering about things that you need to do, errands you need to run, people you need to call, TV shows you'd rather watch, you can't really get good revelation out of the Bible. You can't really have an encounter with God in worship. But if you'll invoke that imagination to fully enter into the words that you are reading or the words that you are singing, then you will be able to have a radical encounter with Jesus and he'll be able to minister to you. The third way to use your holy imagination is just in your quiet time. If you sit down and you're alone with the Lord and you say, Lord, what would you like to say to me today? Imagine Jesus standing right in front of you. Imagine his eyes gazing at you. What do they look like? Whenever I imagine the eyes of Jesus, I always see his eyes like liquid love, like wells so deep that no human could ever get to the bottom. I imagine Jesus standing there. I imagine him looking like he looked in Revelation chapter 1, the passage I read to you a moment ago. I imagine his feet there. I imagine him looking at me and gazing at me, and I'm undone by his gaze. And then I hear him speak. He really will speak to you as soon as you focus in on him. And a lot of the time he'll say something like, I love you. I'm so proud of you. But you're not able to hear him say those things unless you're focused in on him completely. And if you'll use your imagination, he'll become real to you. He'll show you himself. He'll reveal himself to you. My friend, encounters with God are normal Christian living. Jesus always lived in the manifest presence of God, and we're supposed to also. And Jesus promised that he would manifest himself to us. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." See, the manifestation of Jesus is our promise. It's our inheritance. It's our right underneath this new covenant that we have, this covenant of grace, this covenant that was purchased for us by the blood of Jesus, this covenant of intimacy with our Father, of the Holy Spirit living in us and His Word being in our hearts. These encounters with the Lord are normal. And so we should earnestly pursue seeking after Jesus. We should earnestly pursue encounters with Him in worship and seeing Him in the Word and hearing His voice speak to us spontaneously in our quiet time. And it's so much easier to experience all of these things if we will invoke our holy imagination, turn our imaginations over to the purpose that the Lord created the imagination for, and allow that part of our being to just be drawn up and take us up higher into the presence and the manifestation of God in all that He has, that His kingdom would be revealed to us. I hope this inspires you to invoke your holy imagination. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, would you leave those in the comments section of this podcast page? And also, if this podcast ministers to you, would you please go in iTunes and rate it for me? I'd be very grateful. Also, please remember to check out the material on my blog, which is fromhispresence.com. I post there new content generally Monday through Friday, and I believe that'll be a blessing to you. Until next time, thanks for listening, and I pray you will have a radical encounter with the love of Jesus by invoking your holy imagination today.